Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for every opportunity you will give us that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, we ask our blessings upon everyone who's present here today and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable to do so. Ask our blessings, Father, upon our sick, those who have been mentioned this morning. Pray, Father, you look upon them and touch them with your healing hand. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you want to turn your hymn book to page 800. 800. Sing all three verses of this song.
Here for the prize we have paid for, that through our labors are whole, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore.
Here from
Bow with me in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. Just ever mindful and thankful at this time, Father, for blessing each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and health and the strength and the mental wherewithal, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds, Father, on the first day of the new week, that we can openly assemble together, Father, that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning, Father, would be conducted decent and in order, and that all would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for our congregation, our body of Christ here at Cross Street, Father. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless our elders, our deacon, Father, all of our members, Lord, as we all work together to perform the work of the church here, Father. Our Lord, we also ask, Father, at this time that you'd be with our brother Davis as he's going to stand before us this morning, Father, and bring us another portion of thy word to us, Lord. Father, we pray that if there be those in attendance this morning, Father, that are subject to thy gospel or thy invitation in any way, Father, that you'd bless them with the courage to make their needs known, Father, so that they could get in the right standing with you, Father, and can receive your love and mercy and grace, Father, that brings that salvation, Father. Lord, at this time, we're also so mindful, Father, of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that you continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of them, Father. Bless them, bless those that render care unto them, Father. Comfort them, Lord, and if it be your will, you know, grant unto them the things and the care that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also mindful of the many, many
blessings of life which you so richly bestow upon each and every one of us, Father. Our Lord, we know that these blessings are too numerous for us to even count or contemplate, Father, but we know, Lord, that all these things flow from Thee, and we're so thankful unto Thee for them, Lord. And Father, we're most thankful, Lord, for Thy Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the tremendous love that You showed each and every one of us, Father, in the offering up of Thy Son, Lord. For His willingness to go to the cross, suffer the horrible and torturous death that is crucifixion, Father, and the shedding of His blood, Lord, the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father, if we obey Thy gospel and remain faithful to it. Lord, we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, and we pray that as we live our lives, Father, that the things that we do will be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Lord, as we continue in our worship here this morning, Father, we just pray, Father, that You continue to watch over each and every one of us, Father, continue to guide us, continue to lead us, Father. Forgive us of those sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things, Lord, and that You continue to bless us and help us grow in Your grace and knowledge, Lord. And we ask these and all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 371. 371. Sing all three.
When we meet and speak of You now, where the divine is where
In John chapter 15, verses 13, the Bible reads that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. This greater love that the Bible speaks of was the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread, represents his body, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We thank you, Father, this morning that we all can assemble and commune with Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thanking you so much for his love that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. We are so grateful, we are so honored and so thankful to take of this bread in memory of his precious body. For it is in Jesus' name that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly gather today, Heavenly Father, to come together on the Lord's Day, on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, to be able to come into fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to come together in remembrance, Heavenly Father, remembrance of thy son's sacrifice on that cross, to be able to have this opportunity to reflect back on that cruel day on the cross, to know that thy son could have spared himself from all the suffering, Heavenly Father. He could have saved himself from that death on the cross, but he so loved each and every one of us that he was willing to give his life, even though we were yet sinners, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy son's precious blood, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. If anyone was inadvertently overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. Seeing no hands, at this time we have another reverence unto God, and that is giving. As we give, let's allow our minds to reflect back upon the cross and remember what God gave each and every one of us. The best that he had, his only begotten Son. Let us bow and give thanks. Father, we're so grateful for this privilege and this honor that we have to give back on to your ministry, the first fruits of our labor that you enable us to bear day by day in all of the ways and means that you give and provide for each and every living soul. We're so grateful and thankful to give back in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 858. 858. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 379. 379. between verses 1 and 3, and I'd like to ask all that can't stand to stand. Verses 1 and 3.
I walk with the King through heaven, the kingdom of God, the family of Christ, eternal throne, forever to be, to magnify on high. I walk with the King, whose hand is over me. My father still, to his only good faith. He lieth away from darkness to day. I hold to his hand. I walk with the King.
I walk with the King.
I walk with the King. No part is away. He is a true life. The kingdom of heaven. Someday on my soul, I hear his voice say, come home, your mind child, this evening. I walk with the King, through pastures so green. By fine water still, to build his bed. He lieth away from darkness to day. A home to be found.
Good morning, and the scripture reading will be taken from Psalms chapter 33, verse 18 through 22. And I will be reading from the King James Version, and those who want to read along, once again, the scripture reading is coming from Psalm 33, verses 18 to 22. Let the lion lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuous against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast woe for them that trust in thee before the Son of Man. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, and thou shalt keep them secretly and provision from the strife tongue. Blessed the Lord. Blessed the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice, I hearest the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee. And the title of this lesson is IMG. It's a process. Now, let's give our undivided attention to Brother Henry Davis Jr. as he brings us God's word.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's truly a blessing to be able to rise out of our beds this morning, clothed and in our right minds, to have the ability and the freedom to assemble in the house of the Lord this morning, to be able to fellowship, worship, and praise his holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's always it's good to see each and every one of you. I want to take this opportunity to welcome our visitors this morning. If you came to be able to worship and fellowship with us, we want to let you know that you are our honored guests. We are glad that you chose to worship with us today. We pray that you find our service this morning to be both edifying and uplifting to you. And after service, we ask that you don't run off, but that you give us an opportunity to meet you. As always, it's truly an honor. It's truly an honor to be able, and it's a privilege to be able to, thank you, to bring forth the word, the Lord's word, the word of God, yes. The word of God, that which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119, verse 105. A sure foundation that we can build our lives upon. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. See, when we neglect to the word of God, we are neglecting the very thing that has the power to change our lives. The word of God has the power to convict us of sin, to teach us truth, and to lead us into righteousness. Psalms 119:9-11. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 is able to convict us of sin and to dispel our self-deception. We are not to be like those who cast aside the word of God, preferring instead the empty promises of this world. We are to treasure the word of God, hiding it in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. Psalms 119:11. But instead obey his word so that one day, we may live with him life eternal. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5:14, it says, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. And in Numbers 6:24-26, it reads, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. It says also in Psalms 33:18-22, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them who fear them, upon them that have hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth on the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope unto thee. You know, before we start this morning, I kind of want to kind of take a step back into, go back into memory lane, I guess is what they were supposed to say. You know, when I was telling Brother Gilbert that the one thing that I've learned since God has, you know, purposed me to bring his message is that
we might think there's something that we want to work on or start to write down and everything. And then we go through our lives here, right? And God will bring us something else and say, put that aside for right now. It is important for you to give this lesson, which is such a great thing. When the scriptures tell that, all the scripture is inspired by God, it truly is. That no matter what we might think we want to do or we think we want to try to do, God will direct us if we allow him to do so. So that's when I started to look at that lesson, God had directed me somewhere else. But before I get started again, I want to go down memory lane a minute. You know, I had an opportunity yesterday morning to get up and had breakfast. And for some reason, I had just wanted a simple bowl of oatmeal. You know, but it brought me back to our childhood. And we would have that every Saturday morning. And we would sit down in front of the television. And it was the three channels, right? 2, 4, and 7, maybe 50. And we would watch Saturday morning cartoons. And we would sit back, we would have our favorites, and one of my favorites as a kid, and I don't know, it stayed on for a long time, but how many remember Schoolhouse Rock? Remember Schoolhouse Rock? It kind of taught us things about actually how to be, we was in school, didn't even know we were in school. We were singing those songs, right? Y'all, I hear some chuckles, so y'all remember Schoolhouse Rock, so I'm not alone. That's great. But when I thought about Schoolhouse Rock, you know, that's kind of how this message kind of formulated and how God gave it to me. See, Schoolhouse Rock taught us about conjunctions and it taught us about verbs and nouns and that sort of thing. So, you know, it taught us, when we went to school, it taught us about things like root words. And we would say, well, what's a root word? I see, root word holds the basic meaning of a word, okay? A lot of root words are nouns, persons, places, or things. And then with those root words, you could add suffixes or prefixes. A prefix is a string of letters that go at the start of a word, and a suffix is a string of letters that go at the end of the word. By adding prefixes and suffixes to a root word, we can change its meaning. So by like adding a simple prefix like ing or ing can change a noun, a person, place, or thing, to a verb, as a word used to describe an action, like garden or gardening. So please keep that in mind because there's going to be a quiz later. I'm joking there, but we're going to revisit that a little bit going on. We go to this English grammar class that we learned so long ago and as we go forward to this day. So this morning we're going to discuss a process. And what is a process? That for the old schoolers out there, a process is not, let me just say this again, it is not a hairdo from back in the 50s and the 60s. Okay, that's not a process where they would have a conk and have the hair going like that. They would call that a process. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about a process. I'm talking about a natural phenomenon marked by a gradual changes that lead to a particular result. So I'm talking about, again, it is a natural phenomenon marked by gradual changes that lead to a particular result. We know for a fact that a lot of our jobs, we have to deal with new processes all the time. Okay, what happened? The old process didn't work. Well, we're going to do it this way now. So when we're looking at processes, we're looking at how just simple things, like placing an order at a restaurant is a process. You look at the menu, you place your order. It goes to the waiter or waitress, she brings your food back, and you eat. Writing a work order, that's a process. We got nurses out there triaging a patient, that's a process. How automobile is made, we have folks who worked in the auto industry, worked on the assembly line, that is truly a process. A process we're going to talk about this morning is knowing the word of God. That is also a process. 2 Timothy 3:16 will tell us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So the process of teaching, the process and helping people and correcting them and showing them how to live is in the word of God. The scriptures train God's servants as part of the process to do all kinds of good deeds if they would just believe in it and trust in it. However,
This is what makes this particular process the most challenging on this earthly life. We struggle all the time just with day to day. You know, you ask somebody, how you doing? I'm taking it one day at a time. Some people say, I'm taking it 1 hour at a time. Even though some people take it 1 second at a time, and on and on and on. Because our earthly struggles, you know, cloud our judgment so much and get us to start to look just what's in front of us versus what is beyond us, and starts to erode our confidence in God's process for us. We can look at scriptures right now, and you can tell us how this is also, how this is illustrated. When we look at Matthew 13 through 15, when asked by his apostles why Jesus spoke into the masses in parables, Jesus would answer, those seeing, and hear this, those seeing, they do not see. And though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. Jesus is explaining that to the people of that time, that some of the knowledge about, he's trying to explain to them the knowledge of the kingdom. He had already given some of this to his apostles. But he understood that I have to try to talk to the people there so they could clearly understand and comprehend it and receive it. But they couldn't get past, just like today, they couldn't get past what they physically seen. They couldn't get past what they physically could hear. And so it instead of it placing it in their hearts, their hearts became callous to it. They became hardened to it. The King James Version would say their hearts had waxed gross. And that's no different than today. When we go through our trials and when we go through our tribulations, or we have grief in our life or whatever, we start to turn inward more so than outward. Outward more than inward, to the point where we start to be so concerned that we allow the world and the world's struggles to get to us, to the point where we start to look at ourselves for strength that we just don't have. And it's no different than it got to the point that we no longer can hear what the Lord is trying to say to us. And here we start to abandon the process, that he is trying and he wants to develop in each and every one of us. Folks, we got to understand that we must not bail on the process that God has in place in our lives. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is like every process that has ever been written. Jesus' word is just like every process that we make has ever been written. There are several components, there are several elements to each process or pieces associated with it. Then that is what is needed in a job or work-related process. God has it in his process as well. The Lord's process has many life-altering components, which is required for salvation. Not just like we are on a job where we have processes just so we can get through the day and go home. No, these are life-changing and life-altering processes. We look at a process. Processes sometimes tells us about training and how to do a job. In God's word, we have training. 1 Timothy 4 and 7, 8 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and what? For the life also to come. When we have trust, we have trust in the process of God. Psalms 40 and 4 says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So now we have trust, we have to teaching, and now we have to learn. We have to continue to learn. Philippians 4 and 9 says, those things which have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall what? Be with you. So just like anything, you're being trained, we're being taught, we're learning. Now we have to comprehend it or understand it. Proverbs 4 and 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, when we're on a job, we're just trying to get through it so we can go home. When it's the word of God and it's his process, it's about believing it. It becomes a part of us. Romans 10:10 through 11 says, get wisdom. Here it is again. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And also, once you believe it, you have to obey it. 2 John 1 and 6 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have learned from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So the whole idea of the process of God is about love, even though it has those special components that we need to try to live through every day. Now, I just said a word. I said try. The Bible says try. The Bible says strive. That means to try to go forward with it, try to be well with it. Luke 13 through 24 says, strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek it to enter in and shall not be able to. When we look at the Bible again, we go back to Matthew 13. Jesus talks about the parables of the wheat, the weeds and the wheat, where it says that the enemy grew up weeds with the wheat. And the servant said to the farmer, should we pull up the weeds? He's like, no, let them grow with the wheat. So we don't pull up any wheat that's trying to grow, that's trying to get through its process. We will gather up the weeds. We will bundle them and burn them. We will take the wheat and put it in my barn. See, so that's that process. We cannot change that process. We are all going through our processes right now. Understand that it's going to be a test of your faith, which is part of the process, which brings us back to our grammar and English lesson, which is that ing, which is that suffix, which is that ing, because scriptures tells us that with God nothing is impossible. Luke 1:37. However, with man we must continue to try, we must continue to strive, we must continue to press on, etc. We cannot give up. In Colossians 3, 23 through 24, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive a reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So that ing component of God's process is telling us, is for us, is telling the Lord that, yes, I am not there yet, God. I do struggle. I am struggling sometimes to try to keep it going, but I am trying. So I am striving. I am training. I am learning. I am understanding, believing, obeying. I am trying. It is a process. And I want you to kind of to help you understand it and keep it in your hearts, keep it in your mind. ING, ing, that little three-letter suffix that turns God's commands into his new process, into action, which is action for word, for us to follow, ING, three letters that could easily mean, I need God. In my learning, ING, I need God. In my hearing, I need God. In my praying, I need God. In my trusting, I need God. In my grieving, I need God. In my crying, I need God. In my believing, I need God. And in my processing, I need God. ING. It is a process. It is a process that we're going to go through every day that we live on this earth. But as long as we are striving, as long as we are believing, as long as we are trusting, we will be okay. I need God. So, there's your lesson this morning. If you are here and you are not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already begun his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin, that whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. Believe it. Repent of it. Repent of your sin. And in repenting, you're saying, I need God. Confess faith that Jesus is Lord. And in your confessing, you're saying, I need God. Be baptized and come up out the water to walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. Again, not by vote of man, but God alone adds you to his church. Remember, if you're already a Christian and are strayed away, for whatever reason, know that God loves you. Strive to trust his process. And remember that the Father is waiting to rejoice in your return. And in your striving and in your returning, you are saying, I need God. It is a process. If you are in prayer, if you need a prayer, prayer works. And in your praying, you are saying, I need God. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and all the peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, whatever your needs this morning, and we all need God, let them be known as together we stand and sing a song of invitation.
For the gentle voice of Jesus calleth tenderly upon your ear, sweet Israel, love and pity calleth, turn as it comes in.
Thank you.